is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Very busy hour on the way. We'll talk to Kirk Ludicky from Bruins Draft Watch in just a moment. Also, Michael Spadel from Hockey Symposium about the draft and other things. And we'll also this hour give away the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins Oilers jersey to the winner of our top 10 contest. I finally picked one. We had two that were very close, and I chose one name, and we'll pass that along before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Have some updates for you. We were talking to Scott Cullen at the beginning of last hour in regard to Brad Richards and possibly the Toronto Maple Leafs being in on that, but not necessarily wanting to add the additional years at the end of the contract and make it front-loaded. Brian Burke has suggested that's not something he wanted to do. It looks like the final number, this is according to Darren Dreger on Twitter, for Richards was 9 years, $60 million, 6.67 a year, but the last three are basically falling off. He gets a lot of the money front-end loaded. Now, we talked to Scott about that, and he said it might have been a contributing factor. Looks like the Leafs offered, this is according once again to Dreger, a six-year deal with higher annual average salary, but 6 as opposed to 9. Richard wanted the term, the 9 years, and to play for John Tortorella. So that deal is now official as of 3 minutes ago, Reed Dreger. He also says, however, paperwork is being worked out between the Leafs and Tim Connolly, 2 years at $475 a year. And Connolly is healthy. He's had some fluke injuries, but has no concussion issues. Good fit with Kessel. That's courtesy Darren Dreger. I have to think about that. Connolly with Kessel. Well, you know, we happen to have somebody who might be able to give us some input on that. Kirk Ludicky joins us from Bruin Draft Watch. Kirk, how are you this afternoon?
I'm well, Alan. How are you?
Good. We're just getting breaking news here that the Toronto Maple Leafs are signing a center for your former winger in Philadelphia, or in Boston with the Bruins, in Phil Kessel. How does that work, Connolly with Kessel? Is that a good combination in your mind?
Well, I mean, if you're going to lose out on the Brad Richards sweepstakes, I guess so. But I mean, it's funny. I can't believe Connolly's 30. I just tweeted that a couple minutes ago. I remember the 99 draft like it was yesterday, and it's just hard to believe that you know, he's already 30 years old. But no, I mean, you know, Toronto had to do what they have to do, I guess. And, you know, he's certainly a playmaker. So, yeah, it should boost Kessel's numbers a bit.
Let's talk about the free agent moves yesterday. How incredible was it, and what did really strike you from the first day of free agency as being impact?
Well, I think just the amount of money that was doled out yesterday was I mean, I don't want to say it was a surprise, because nothing really surprises me anymore, you know, in terms of, it seems like every year we have things like this, but it, just given the, I don't want to say mediocre, that's probably the wrong word to use, but I mean, it's certainly not a high-end free agent class, we'll say. So the middle tier guys had the big paydays yesterday, just because there wasn't those, you know, real high-end guys, and, you know, teams like Florida, you know, who had to get to the cap floor and make significant moves to do so. I mean, the guys that they paid to get there, I mean, wow, cha-ching, you know?
Yeah, it really was. For an Oiler fan, it seemed like we were expecting nothing, because Steve Tambellini held a press conference on Thursday night saying, look, it could happen the 1st, it could happen the 10th, we're going to do a couple of things. Then he does 5 things. So it was, every time I turned around and checked the internet, there was something new happening. And of course, the boys here at Team 1260 were all over it. But any major surprises aside from the Washington-Colorado trade for a goalie that you said, this money is so out of whack, it really became noticeable?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I want to single any particular player out, because, to be frank, I thought there were a group of players that have some very interesting contracts that could become issues down the road. But I mean, this is the reality of the NHL today, Alan, and it's just kind of it's what teams do. And when you're trying to win and you're trying to ice a competitive team, you have the tools that you're given to work with. I thought it was interesting that the Bruins didn't do a whole lot of anything, and that was on line with what Peter Chiarelli had told us. I mean, like Steve Tambellini met with the media beforehand, and he said, you know, we have an idea of what the market is, and we're just going to see what happens. And the only guy they ended up signing was Benoit Pouliot, you know, $1.1 million. So the Bruins kind of, I mean, it's you know, fans are kind of up in arms because they're looking at all these other teams around them getting better today. But in all honesty, I mean, they're still in the mix for Cabrelet and some other defensemen, and you know, we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. Some of these teams that spent extravagantly in a couple years, they may be regretting those decisions when other unrestricted free agent classes are much stronger, but they don't have the money to work with to bring some of those guys in.
The Bruins play-by-play guy, Jack Edwards is the name, right?
Yeah, he's the television guy on Nesson. That's correct.
Okay, he's not a big fan of Pouliot. That's I chuckled when I saw that because I remember his call on that one play where Pouliot seemed to be diving a little bit, and I thought, well, this is going to be an interesting fall when he gets to training camp.
Yeah, bygones will be bygones when Pouliot slips the black and gold and spoke to be on. I imagine knowing Jack, you know, he's a good guy, very exuberant guy, and passionate and. I think that he certainly falls on the side of once you put that Bruins sweater on, you know, you're one of the good guys, and I'm sure he and Benoit will have a good little chuckle out of that.
Any word on Cabrelet? Is he a guy who could come back, or have they moved on?
No, I think he could come back. I mean, Peter Chiarelli said yesterday that they are in talks with him. He also mentioned there were a couple of other defensemen that he declined to name for obvious reasons, but that there is a group of defensemen that the Bruins are having discussions with, and I think you could see something happen in the next week or so with that.
I thought that among the teams out east that Carolina had a pretty good week. They signed some of their impending free agents. Any other teams that really caught your eye that they were doing some wise moves?
Yeah, well, I would also add to Carolina. They had a really good draft too. I mean, I think if you're a Hurricanes fan, you're probably pretty excited right now because I really liked what they did in Minnesota, and then you just add what they did in terms of the free agent moves. So, yeah, I think you're right on there. You know, I'm intrigued by what Paul Holmgren did. I mean, that old adage, no guts, no glory, seems to apply. So it's either gonna work out pretty well for the Flyers or be one of these spectacular, you know, flaming crashes, but certainly intriguing, and you gotta love the rivalry, the heating up of the rivalry that he did by signing away Max Talbot and Yager, you know, in terms of those cross state rivals, the Penguins. So that's just good for hockey, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think though, and we're gonna talk about the draft in a minute, but one more item on the free agency. Even though the Oilers have done a lot of things, they still have some holes on defense and possibly in goal. Toronto making a move today, but there's a lot of teams who haven't really gotten into action. Minnesota's been rather quiet, Calgary as well. Because of the fact that this UFA class isn't as strong as in previous years and next year, do you think it might mean more trades as the summer rolls out because teams are going to still have to address need?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And the thing about not getting involved in free agency means that you're not overpaying. You're not paying premiums for guys on the open market, but that you did maintain your cap space, which gives you the flexibility to take a contract off of another team if you feel the value's there. It's just a different way to go about it. But obviously, anytime you're talking unrestricted free agency, teams are going to pay a higher rate for a guy on the open market. That's just the way it goes. I mean, you're not going to get very many bargains there in unrestricted free agency, and if you do, usually it's more luck having to do with it than anything else. So, yeah, I think certainly the teams that weren't active in free agency, you could see some trades because they saved money and eschewed the heavy spending to maybe take a more strategic approach.
This is Nation Radio on Team 1260 Radio. I'm Alan Mitchell, and we're with Kirk Ludicky from Bruins Draft Watch. Kirk, you were at the draft. Any inside info, anything that you got? Is it a place where you can grab some dirt and inside info, or is it just a blur?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I mean, certainly, if you get there early enough, you can pick up some things because that's the build-up to the draft is when people are kind of talking and you're hearing things. Once it gets underway, unless you're connected directly with a team's general manager, as some of these key, the big media folks are, you're really not going to get much. It just happens. It happens so fast. But no, I did pick up a couple rumors. You know, while I was there, I had indication of the Jeff Carter deal that was going down. You may have seen on on the blog. We talked about that, and it was funny because Flyers fans and Jackets fans alike were killing me over that, and so it was nice to get some vindication in that regard. But I don't think anyone saw the Brad Richards thing coming. That certainly, or correction, not Brad Richards, Mike Richards. I got Brad Richards on the brain. Yeah, I don't think anyone saw the Mike Richards to L.A. thing coming, so that was kind of cool. And then the whole Campbell thing, I had gotten rumblings of the Campbell thing. The only issue was initially knew it was Columbus, but then didn't hear the other part of him not waiving his no trade to go to Columbus, so he ended up in Florida. So those are the kind of things you can pick up if you know the right people, but it ends up being a blur once the draft gets underway.
Now, you have graded out about, I think, over half of the teams now. As
20, yeah, 20 of 30, and I'm kind of struggling to, I had to do some housework today, so I'm working on 21 to 30 as we speak, but yeah, I did get Edmonton in there, so I imagine you'll be interested in talking about that one.
Yeah, for sure. You graded it out as an A+. We're pleased about that. You know, it's one of those things where you go into a draft as an observer of a team and you go, well, it looks good, but you're not going to get the report card really for 5 or 6 years. In your estimation, based on, you know, making a solid bet at 119-31 and on, how did the Oilers do?
Well, I said in the write-up, I don't think Steve Tambellini and his guys, you know, Stu McGregor, could have had their board set up any better. I thought it was tremendous work. Certainly getting Ryan Nugent-Hopkins at 1 for me was a no-brainer, but to get Oscar Klefbom at 19, I know there was talk of that he would be a great fit. I had seen some, you know, Edmonton media sources talking about that, but I completely concur. He is a defenseman that has a lot of upside, and he's such a great guy. I mean, you guys will really enjoy him. You know, I know I've talked about him being a rock star, but it's not an exaggeration, and when you meet him and you talk to him, you'll say, now I know what Ludicky was talking about. Musil at 31, again, I saw Frank Musil shortly after the pick was made, and he just had a huge smile on his face. And, you know, that's awesome because there's not a lot of pressure. You know, David is a strong value there, so you can't say, oh, well, they reached to take Frank's kid. You know, I mean, this is a good deal for Edmonton. And I liked Perhonen a lot. I mean, he struggled in the under-18s, but this is a really talented goaltender. And on down the line, Neil Wanek, and then Craig Simpson's son, and Tobias Reeder, and Gernot, I think, you know, could be maybe one of the best of them all. He's that good. I mean, he's very raw, but an offensive-minded defenseman has some real skill. So, you know, I don't know much about the last pick there, the Finnish goalie, but, hey, with those other guys, I have no quibble. I mean, let's face it, that's a heck of a draft. That's a franchise-altering type of draft if everything continues to break right and these guys continue to develop. And that's the big wild card. But I think the Oilers got upside, they got value, and they got some safe guys as well. So not much to complain about there.
We had word from McGregor. We were talking to Bob Stauffer here on Team 1260 later in the week after the draft that they had, obviously they didn't choose to draft him there, but they had Gernot 35 on their list. They liked him that much, which
do not doubt it for a second. Although it is curious that if he was that high, you know, why he ended up in the fifth round. Not to doubt the great Stu McGregor, but you know, it's funny. Saturday night, we were out at a nice Brazilian steakhouse, and the Oilers were there, you know, the whole staff celebrating. And I just said to myself, yeah, you guys are, so you picked a great place to celebrate. I don't know if you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse, but it's a great joint, a great establishment. And, man, they must have been on cloud nine. That was all I could think of as, you know, as I was walking by and saw them there, because that's the kind of draft that, I mean, everyone's always excited. Anaheim scouts were telling me, you know, after the draft, there's 30 winners. There's no losers, but I think in Edmonton's case, they really did some good work.
You talked a minute ago about franchise-altering draft, and I couldn't help but think when Boston went up to the podium in the first round that, you know, and I mean, this isn't to pick on anybody, but had Brian Burke known what the payback was going to be, there's not a chance in the world he would have made that trade originally.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, Kessel has been a productive player for the Leafs, and you don't want to take anything away from his skill. But he's not a guy you build around. I mean, I think you've seen that now in 2 years. Kessel has been productive, but the team itself hasn't been able to get out of its own way. And, you know, he's a fine complementary player, and he's got a lot of skill. But what the Bruins have ended up with are two potential anchors, a guy in Seguin who became the youngest player or the highest drafted player and youngest player ever to win a Stanley Cup at second overall, you know, to win a Stanley Cup the following year. That's in the history books. And then you get a kid like Dougie Hamilton who could be possibly an anchor on the blue line for many, many years. And then, you know, you throw in Jared Knight on top of it, who, you know, I think the world of. I think he's a very underrated prospect and doesn't get enough credit sometimes. You know, he's a goal scorer, but he's also a complete player, and he works so darn hard. My favorite quote about him was from former Providence coach Rob Murray, who said that Knight would, you know, if he could get away with it, he'd put the puck in between his teeth and he'd throw himself into the net. And I think that's, you know, that's just the kind of kid Knight is. So those three players, I mean, you know, I don't think Boston envisioned that they would have that kind of talent coming back.
A question that probably doesn't have an answer, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway because I'm curious as to what you'll say. If you had to pick this year's Jeff Skinner, who would it be?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question. Boy, you know, and I probably should have been more prepared to answer that. But
I could have warned you that I was going to ask you that question.
Yeah, this year's Jeff Skinner. Well, you know, Jeff Skinner, the thing with me on Skinner, and you know, honestly, a year ago, I mean, I saw Jeff Skinner, you know, as a clear-cut top 10 pick. So, I the fact that the Carolina took him didn't surprise me in the least. I mean, I didn't buy into where I saw Central had him rated, I think, in the 30s and all of that. So, for me, it's kind of like, I've never really focused in on that. But, I mean, I think this year's Ryan Johansson was certainly Mark Scheifele for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that went off the board way ahead of where anyone thought he would go, and, you know, certainly was a bit of a surprise in that regard. But I don't know if Scheifele's ready to come right in and have the kind of impact that that Skinner did right away. You know who could do it. Honestly, I like him a lot. I don't know if he's ready for prime time, but maybe Sven Barchi for Calgary.
Oh, interesting.
You know, he's kind of a similar. I see him as a similar kind of player in that he's not the fastest skater, but he just knows how to score, and he just loves hockey and is a driven kid. So he might be a guy who could surprise, maybe make the Flames out of camp and go on and have an impact year. But it's hard. I mean, there's only one Jeff Skinner, and he had a great year, and so full marks and credit to him and for Jim Rutherford for stepping up and taking them where they did last year.
Now, final question. I know that you've mentioned a couple of times about some plans for 2012 and Bruins Draft Watch and what it looked like. When can we look forward to the new look, and when will it be up and running?
I'm focused on trying to finish out the 2011 season. I've got some more things. I'm going to Bruins development camp next week, so I'm going to generate some prospect reports for the hardcore Bruins fans that read the blog, because I will be in Wilmington seeing the Hamiltons and the Cocos. I thought Kokolachev was a great pick for the Bruins at 40, so I guess the rich got a little richer, but I'm looking forward to that, and then everything else that falls in line beyond that, I'm just going to have to, you know, take things as they come, and I'm not looking too far ahead on that right now.
Okay, we reserve the right to call you out the summer, and enjoy your summer, okay?
Thank you so much for having me on the show throughout the course of the year. It's been a real honor and pleasure, and I wish you guys the best.
Happy July 4th, and enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Happy Canada Day as well.
Okay. Kirk Ludicky from Bruins Draft Watch 2011, an unbelievable resource. And as the year went on, I saw more and more sources using him, because there's great information there. If you want the backstory on the Oilers picks, he really did. I mean, this is a labor of love. This is a lot of work here. And we've talked to him several times over the last number of months because, you know what? He's got the goods. There's great information there. So our thanks to Kirk Ludicky. Mike Spidell from Hockey Symposium, a gentleman who's been following the draft for many years, well, at least a decade, and he's really come up with some really good insight about draft trends, about draft value, which is what we're going to talk about, and we're going to look forward to the Edmonton Oilers and see exactly what he thought about their draft. That's all up next on Nation Radio.